Okay, we have hopefully a video presentation to start the talk today.
I don't want you to forget, Norton. I am the king in my castle. The king, Norton. I rule my kingdom. Alice is just a mere peasant girl. Just a servant to do my bidding. I snap my fingers and she jumps. I'm the king. The king of my castle. And just like Richard the Lionhearted, I rule with an iron hand.
Boy, that's telling around fast.
It's all right.
Tracy, can't be happy to see if she can have some more thread around here.
Oh, hiya, sweetheart.
Hiya, Ralph.
Hey, that's a mighty friendly way to talk to a peasant.
What's this peasant stuff?
I'll tell you what it is, Alice. He's got something to tell you, and you better listen, because he's king of the castle, and you are nothing but a servant. Go ahead, snap your fingers, Ralph. I'm dying to see a joke. Don't forget, you are dealing with Richard the Lionhearted, who rules with an iron hand.
Tell him, Ralph. Shut up.
Go ahead, Ralph. Tell me. There is something you wanted to tell me, isn't there? Oh, mighty king of the castle. Go ahead. Rule with an iron hand. Come on, Ralph, tell me. The peasants have a right to know.
You think I won't tell you? You think I won't tell you? Is that what you think, that I won't tell you?
That's right, oh, Richard the chicken-hearted.
Just for that, I won't tell you.
Well, since our talk title today is Who Wears the Pants, I thought that would be an appropriate opening. I really want to thank Rob again for the words that he shared, because obviously everybody's relationship with their fathers or fathers with their children have lacked in a lot of ways. And these are particularly painful experiences for us that have experienced them, or even for those of us that have experienced them to even a small level. And yet it's appropriate for everybody to celebrate Father's Day today, because there's a transcendence to the concept of fatherhood, something that calls us forth and goes beyond whatever our particular realities might be. And it exhorts us to live the principles of fatherhood, as we'll get into the talk here, in a very special way. But that video is appropriate because our talk title today is Who Wears the Pants? And this title was actually inspired by a real-life conversation that I had a few weeks ago when I was having breakfast one morning with my grandson, my daughter, Lori, her husband, my son-in-law, Tim. And we got into talking about the untethered soul and this whole notion about that monkey mind, that ongoing chatter that we're constantly hearing between our ears, that relentless voice that just won't shut up, and how that voice really isn't you, and how that voice really isn't yours. And upon hearing this, my son-in-law made a very fatal mistake. He turned to my daughter, his wife, and he said, "The problem I have is that voice that I'm always hearing in my head is yours." It didn't go over all that well, even though I and my grandson gave it a big fat belly laugh. Who wears the pants? It's really fascinating how a very different consciousness around a very basic fundamental issue has evolved in our very lifetimes. I mean, going back to when I was a little boy, things certainly have changed in terms of who's the boss. Or have they? And I ask this question because, well, certainly things are different, ostensibly different. I believe there's a sense in which the more things changed, the more things have remained the same. In preparing my talk for today, I kept vacillating. I kept flip-flopping, going back and forth. Did I want to talk to you today about the divine masculine? Or did I want to speak to you today about an attitudes of shifts in consciousness in terms of who is or who should be in charge? And the more I thought about it, I came to appreciate these two things are very much interrelated, and so I decided I'm going to try to do both. But in order to do that, we have to back up a little bit, back up in time, not just for the past 60 or 70 years, but over the centuries. In unity, we understand that there is no one reference, there is no one name for God that truly captures the incredible vastness of that divine essence. And so we have a number of references for God. Sometimes we might refer to God as light or love or life or truth, divine mind, spirit, and really quite a few others. And on some occasions, we will refer to God as Father. In fact, we do that every Sunday here at Unity of Fox Valley when we sing and we pray the Lord's Prayer. But that reference, Father, is not one that has been available really all that long. So if you go back to the Hebrew Scriptures, you will find seven different names, seven different references for God, all of them with a slightly different meaning, and all of them regarded as so secret that you weren't even supposed to say them. A tradition that has extended even to today among some Jewish populations. Really pretty incredible. But if you read the Hebrew Scriptures, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you will discover a God that is very demanding, very exacting, sometimes very punishing. A God with very stringent regulations and a God that is very much aloof. And I mention that again this morning because all of these are qualities or attributes that pretty much could be categorized as masculine. But it is also important to mention that regardless of what name that the Israelites and the Jews had for God, it was always held in profound, deep respect and awe in their thinking and in their prayers. And then Jesus came along and things changed. Because in the Gospels, Jesus consistently refers to God as Father. And by referring to God as Father, we saw the birth of two new consciousnesses. The first one was that no longer was God someone or something to be feared. And the second one is really significant and really important. Because by referring to God as Father, Jesus drastically closed the distance between God and humankind. Because by referring to God as Father, Jesus in effect established that there is this spiritual sharing of DNA. So in doing so, he completely shattered the notion of separateness. And in doing so, he didn't just create closeness. He laid claim on behalf of all of us that we share in that incredibly divine spiritual dynamic. At the same time, Jesus' reference to God as Father doesn't eliminate a lot of those masculine qualities. God is still the figurehead, the power. God is still the figurehead of assertiveness. God, the Father, is still the provider. Give us this day our daily bread. God is still the decision maker. Thy will be done. And the Father is the figure of authority. And we call to mind the time that Jesus reminded Pilate in their conversation, you would have no authority whatsoever if it had not been given to you by the Father. So did anything really change when Jesus came on and coined God as the Father? Well, yes and no. And it's certainly true that, you know, Father is a masculine noun. But by other things that Jesus said about the Father, he described a Father that was caring, that was nurturing, that was gentle, that was loving, and that was present. And so in doing this, what Jesus really did was not only alter the concept of God, but suggested, issued a call as to what the whole notion of fatherhood was all about. So what happened as a consequence? What did the world look like for the last 2,000 years? Well, being honest about it, there's a sense in which not a whole heck of a lot has changed. Historically, it's been a man's world. Man continued to be the boss. Men continued to wear the pants. And in fact, that continued to be the case right up until the late 50s and early 60s. Ladies and girls were expected to show up in skirts and dresses. And I was a little boy. I never could figure out, why is there a boy's bike and a girl's bike? And I, you know, then one day, that bar that went across wasn't exactly conducive to wearing a skirt or a dress while you were riding a bicycle. So who really is in charge today? The 19th Amendment was passed in 1920. Not even 100 years ago today. And it gave women the right to vote. But it didn't give them a whole heck of a lot more. Women were still discouraged from getting a good education. And the scope of activities for them remained very narrow. Women were supposed to remain the keepers of the nest. And when they finally did enter to the workplace, in any size or number, they pretty much were given jobs that were menial, boring, didn't take a lot of creativity or imagination. And I remember growing up, yeah, it was just fine for women to study and become nurses, doctors, not so much. Men continued to wear the pants in a lot of ways. Men continued to be bosses. So even today, where many women have taken on jobs, important, significant roles in the workplace, there remains a tradition of paying them less money for it all as compared to salaries that men draw. Don't jump on me, guys, by what I'm saying. This is not a Mother's Day talk. Because as difficult as it has been for ladies to level the playing field, it hasn't been a walk in the park for men either. We're taught, men are taught and have been taught at a very early age by both their fathers and their mothers that if they wanted to be manly, they had to be tough. They had to be rigid. If we confined women by keeping them in the home and putting them on a pedestal, We put the chains on men by telling them that they were expected to be the heroes. And men are taught, for God's sakes, whatever you do, don't ever show your feelings. Even when men got together as close personal friends, they might spend hours talking about sports or maybe some of their conquests, but sharing their feelings was a no-no. And even worse, many have been discouraged from sharing their feelings even from themselves. In so many ways, men were taught to suppress those things. I recall a time back when my father was in his mid-50s. And there was an evening he just lost it and he broke down. And in tears, he just said, "I don't know what's wrong. I just know it's not right. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't know where to turn. And I wish that I had somebody to talk to." But of course, his wife and his family weren't options. And this is not the type of thing he would have been able to take to his friends. And at that time, I remember very clearly how I and the rest of my family, we were really shook up. We had never seen Dad in this shape. We have never seen him fall apart. We have never had never seen him crumbled. And we were really, really frightened. And so what did we do? We encouraged him to stop crying and to try to get a hold of whatever it was that was eating away at him and somehow make it disappear, make it go away. Well, after a couple of hours, he did manage to get the demon back into the bottle and put the cork in it. And the family was greatly relieved that whatever the heck this was had passed. But I just remember still looking at him, and I could just see the pain in his face and in his eyes. And it never happened again. But I still believe that that pain, that hurt, never really went away for him. So who wears the pants? Let me lighten the load a little bit here and tell you an anecdote that once there was a little girl who was sitting at the breakfast table with her dad, and she said, "Dad, you're really the boss of our family, aren't you?" And Dad just beamed, grinned from ear to ear, and said, "Why, yes, princess. Yes, I am the boss of the family." And his daughter said, "Is that because Mom put you in charge?" And I know in my own relationship with Susan, I wear the pants in that family. Okay, I'll give you an indication. I make all of the important decisions. I get to decide what the U.S. policy should be in the Middle East. I get to decide how we should be handling this trade war with China. She gets to decide things like where we live, what kind of a car we should have, where we're going to go on vacation. You know, all of those trivial things. I'm kidding, of course. Because one thing that Susan and I really share more and more all the time, I like to believe, is a mutual caring and responsibility and a mutual display of both our masculine and our feminine sides. Something that's so important in every relationship, in everything that we do. But to really get the answer of who's in charge or who wears the pants, let's go back to that concept of God as the Father. As I said, Father definitely is a masculine noun. And it's one that would have been culturally appropriate at the time that Jesus referenced it. But Jesus manifested his divine masculinity by embracing both the masculine and the feminine sides of his spiritual DNA. He dared to care. He dared to listen. He dared to love. He dared to nurture. He dared to be present. All of these are feminine characteristics. And he understood that his assertiveness was born out of his tenderness. And he understood that his strength was born out of his vulnerability. And he never lost sight of the fact that whatever he was, all of his power, all of his might, all of those dynamic masculine qualities truly did come from the Father. Who wears the pants? Well, in that video, Ralph Cramden wore the pants. But his wife Ellis wore the pants. Norton wore the pants. Richard the Lionhearted, who ruled with an iron fist, he too wore the pants. You wear the pants. I wear the pants. Okay, technically, maybe we don't all wear the pants, but we all have them. We all own them. And putting them on means that we too understand that everything we are and all of the traits and characteristics that we exhibit, male and or female, come from the Father. And putting them on does not mean only putting one leg in. We have tried that for centuries, and it really hasn't worked out. And putting your pants on doesn't mean pounding your chest to show how mighty you are. And putting your pants on isn't about controlling or dominating somebody else. And putting your pants on doesn't mean trying to convince yourself that you're a genius by running around and telling anybody who will even pretend to listen that that is the case. Putting on your pants is all about being in that awareness, that consciousness of your own divine heritage and everything that has come from the Father. Putting on your pants means making decisions in your life that are based in love. Putting on your pants is appreciating that whatever assertiveness you may exercise stems from your sensitivity. We talk about manning up. That's what manning up is. And it's not just for men, it's for boys and girls, for men and women. Putting on your pants means putting on your Christ essence that is within you. I think back to the days when I was growing up, and looking back, my recollection is that it was Mom, pretty much, who called a lot of the shots. That she was the boss, and I guess in a sense she wore the pants. Dad, though, was different. He wore the pants in a different sense. He didn't wear the pants in a sense that he had anything to prove. He was there. Not just sometimes, but all of the time. He listened, he cared, he nurtured. And I and the rest of the children responded to him accordingly. And it was the same for the brothers and the sisters in the house. There's no way that my father would have been able to express the words that he was trying to live in accordance with being a divine son of the Father. The words are unimportant. How we live it day in and day out is what's really important. With your indulgence, I would like to say Happy Father's Day, Dad. And I would really like to express the same to each and every one of you. And may you on this day at least a bit experience the incredible power, the glory, the magnificence of what it means to father in the truest, most sacred, divine sense of that word.